Welcome to Canvas Church. You are listening to our weekly celebration service message. Thank you for tuning in.
Come on. Who's excited for an awesome message from God's Word? Come on. Well, why don't you grab your Bibles then and grab your apps on your phone if you like to take notes. Let me just say this real quick, though. If you are taking notes in the app today, I'm going to jack everything up, so you're going to be trying to connect the dots, all right? But we're going to have fun doing it. As my wife said, we just got back from vacation on Wednesday night late, and we had an amazing time on vacation. And I want to say a huge thank you to all of our ministry team and our executive leadership team, because I heard that while we were gone, church was better than when we're here. Come on, somebody. Nobody cheered for that one. All right. I was hoping you would cheer so I could go back on vacation. But I heard, man, everything was fantastic. We had some great messages. How many of you guys are here for Pastor Melissa's message last week? Man, what an amazing message. And Pastor Brandon the week before that. And so I just want to highlight our ministry team, highlight our executive leadership team, because, man, we wouldn't be able to do what we do without them. And because of them, we were able to take off on vacation and have a good time and not worry about anything. And so we just disconnected, and it was a blast. And just great to come home, though, as my wife said, and be here. But as I was on vacation, God really began to speak to me. And so we're going to unofficially start our new series, Covenants. That's what this is. We didn't change the name of our church, okay? We are not Covenant Church. We are Canvas Church, not to be confused with Kansas Church or Cannabis Church. We are Canvas Church. This is actually for our new series that we're starting off. And so I'm going to unofficially start that today, going to officially kick it off next week. And we're going to have a great time doing that, because while I was on vacation, God just really began to speak to me while we were there. And because we were going on a road trip, and we were going on a road trip to see some things. Man, we got to see Old Faithful. Has anybody ever seen Old Faithful? Great. Man, that was awesome. We got to see Mount Rushmore. We got to go through all of Yellowstone. Man, we saw Zion National Park. We saw Bryce Canyon. And if I haven't done so yet, all the young people are dismissed to go to their class. But we saw so many incredible things. And a couple days into the journey, God just began to speak to me and said, Ben, what are you doing right now? I said, we're going to see something. He said, exactly. I'm about ready to take Canvas Church into seeing something. I'm not just going to tell you about what I'm going to do. It's not just going to be rumored. It's not just going to be talked about. It's not just going to be heard. But I believe that this summer is going to be a summer where we begin to see what God is doing amongst us. We're going to begin to see the supernatural work of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Because, you know, we talk about it. We read scripture. I believe that the Bible is true. And when the Bible says that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, I tend to believe that. When I read about the miracles, man, I just don't want to read about it. I don't want to just talk about it. I don't just want to hear about it. Come on. I want to begin to see it happen right here at Canvas Church. And over the last couple weeks, we have seen some incredible miracles, but I just really believe God spoke to me on that trip. And it wasn't just for me, it's for you. There's some of you here, you've been praying for God to do something, and you believe it, and you've heard him do it for others. But I believe what God is saying to you this morning is, watch, I'm about to do it for you. That miracle that you've been believing for, that person you've been praying for, that provision you've been desiring, I believe that this is the summer where we see that come to pass. And that's why this idea of covenants is so crucial, because when you begin to understand covenants, you begin to see scripture in a whole new light. And you begin to see what God can and will do for you. And so it's going to be a great summer. Why am I sharing that with you? Two reasons I'm sharing that with you. One is I want you to prepare yourself for it. Whatever you've been believing for, whatever you've been hearing, man, I know, God, you can do it. I believe you're going to see it. Number two, I want to invite you into praying for it. I want to invite you in. Man, we pray every Sunday morning right here in the lobby from 8:30 to 8:45, 15 minutes. And we gather out there and we pray together for what God's going to do on these Sunday mornings. But also on Saturday morning, we get together and we pray Saturday morning at our offices from 8 to 9 o'clock. And I would encourage you, come on out over the summer. Let's join our prayers together and let's see the things that God has for us. Can you say amen? It's going to be a great summer. Man, to kick off our summer, we actually have an incredible ministry team that I just was highlighting earlier here. And so every summer we try to do some fun stuff together. And one of those is we're doing a ministry team barbecue the first Sunday of the month right over here at Hourglass Park. About, I don't know, maybe Hourglass Park is that way. I don't know where I'm at. Maybe it's that way. Anywhere, it's just right around here, about 2 minutes away. And so other people are pointing to, and you don't have a clue either. I'm about 2 minutes away, Hourglass Park. We have our ministry team barbecue. We have about 160 plus people that serve on our ministry team, doing worship, doing all the AV. Come on, can we give our audio visual a hand, man? Crushing it. Man, great, great group of people. And so serving in children's classes, we got an incredible ministry team. And so we do stuff that we can just spend time together. And you might be sitting here like, so what? I'm not on the ministry team. Well, you can be. And so if you're not currently on the ministry team, I want to invite you out to the picnic as well, because this is a great time for you to connect with some of the other ministry team people, learn more about the ministry team, how you can get connected to a team. And so if you're here and that kind of piques your interest, you're like, I'd like to find out, come join us right after church. Give or take 15 minutes right after church. We'll be over at the park. We're going to be barbecuing and having some fun and going to enjoy fellowship. There might be a volleyball net set up. Some other stuff. So, all right. Turning your Bibles this morning, if you would, to Numbers chapter 13. We're going to go to an Old Testament passage, Numbers chapter 13. And as we just get back to this idea of seeing. God wants us to see something this summer. God wants to show us something this summer. And so I want to take us to Numbers chapter 13. I'm going to read a lengthy portion of scripture here, but you're in church, and so that's a good thing. Numbers chapter 13, starting in verse 1, I'm going to read from the Holman Christian Standard Bible. And it says, verse 1, the Lord spoke to Moses. Who is Moses? Moses is the guy that God raised up to lead the children of Israel out of a place called Egypt, which represented bondage and slavery and affliction. God raises up this guy named Moses to lead them out of that and to lead them to this promised land that he promised them. And so the Lord spoke to Moses, send men to scout out the land of Canaan. Okay, so here we are. What has happened? Moses has already led them out, and here they are at the promised land, the land of Canaan. Now, I want to take you to the first place that God began to mention this to Moses, and you don't have to turn there. I just want you to hear it, and it's in chapter 3 of Exodus, and it says this. It says in verse 16, go and assemble. This is God now talking to Moses, the one he raised up to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. He said, go and assemble the elders of Israel and say to them, Yahweh, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has appeared to me and said, I have paid close attention to you and to what has been done to you in Egypt. And I have promised you that I will bring you up from the misery of Egypt to the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, Jebusites. Listen to it now. A land flowing with milk and honey. Okay? So this is when God first appears to Moses. He says, Moses, I've raised you up. I want to use you to lead all of my people to this promised land. And so now here they actually are standing at the promised land as we pick it back up in Numbers. And so it says, Moses in verse 3 sent them, the people in from the wilderness, the people that spied out the wilderness of Paran, at the Lord's command. All the men were leaders in Israel. Okay, so selected one from each of the tribes, just sent them in to spy out the land. Now go with me to verse 25 of chapter 13. Verse 25, it says this, at the end of 40 days, 40 days of what? This is the 40 days of the spies spying out the land. At the end of the 40 days, they returned from scouting out the land. Verse 26, the men went back to Moses and Aaron and the entire Israelite community in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back a report for them and the whole community, and they showed them the fruit of the land. So they brought back some of the stuff, so here it is. They reported to Moses, we went into the land where you sent us. Indeed, it is flowing with milk and honey. Okay, where did we hear that before? Chapter 3, verse 17, right? This is the land. It really is the land flowing with milk and honey. And here is some of the fruit. However, the people living in the land are strong and the cities are large and fortified. We also saw the descendants of Anak there and the Amalekites living in the land of the Negev, the Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites. Okay, now hold on a second. Didn't God say to Moses that those things were going to be there? Didn't he say, I'm taking you to the land flowing with milk and honey, to the land of these people? Okay, yeah, he said they're going to be there. The hill country and the Canaanites lived there by the sea along the Jordan. Then Caleb quieted the people in the presence of Moses. Why did he have to do that? Because the people, they first hear, hey, here's the fruit. Here's the potential of the land. There really is fruit there, and there's milk and there's honey. Look, it's got great potential. But now these spies, their focus is no longer on the potential. Their focus begins to shift now to the problem, all these people. And so they're grumbling, they're complaining. And Caleb quieted the people in the presence of Moses and said, "We must go up and take possession of the land because we certainly will conquer it." I love that. Caleb comes and he doesn't even address the potential. He doesn't even address the problem. He just remembers Exodus chapter 3, verse 17. He remembers the promise. Are you with me? And because he remembers the promise, he's like, "Hey, quiet, we can do this thing." Verse 31. But the men who had gone up with him responded, "We can't go up against the people because they are stronger than we are." So they gave a negative report to the Israelites about the land. They had scouted the land we passed through to explore as one that devours its inhabitants. Boom, boom, boom. And the people we saw in the men, the men are of great size, like Pastor Ben. We even saw the Nephilim there, and the descendants of Anak come from the Nephilim. To ourselves, we seemed like grasshoppers. And we must have seemed the same to them. Chapter 14, verse 1. Then the whole community broke into loud cries. The people wept that night. All the Israelites complained about Moses and Aaron. Of course they did. That's the way it always goes. Things aren't going well. It's the coach's fault. And the whole community told them, "If only we had died in the land of Egypt." Are you hearing that? They are literally standing before their promised land, the land that God had said, "Hey, that's yours." And they're like, "You know what? It would have been better for us to go back into bondage, to slavery, to affliction, to..." Wow. If only we had died there. Or if only we had died in the wilderness with nothing. Why is the Lord bringing us into the land to die by the sword? It wasn't a part of what he said. Our wives and little children will become plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to slavery, to bondage, to injustice? Because this looks like a lot of work. And we're probably going to die. So they said to one another, "Let's get a different coach and head back to Egypt." Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you that your word is amazing. God, I pray the next few moments that we have together, that, Lord, you would speak to us. That, God, you would show us, Lord, the promises that you have for us, those promises that are in you, yes, and in you, amen. That, God, we would not settle for anything other than the promised land you have for us. God, no matter what the obstacle looks like, in Jesus' mighty name, amen. I want to talk to you just for the next few minutes on what do you see? What do you see? We just got back from an incredible vacation, as I've kind of shared a little bit. My wife shared a little bit. If you follow us on social media, you saw some of our pictures and you got jealous. And we had a great time. And man, this scene thing was unbelievable. The sights we got to see. And one of the things we saw a lot of is in certain parts of the country, we saw a lot of cows. A lot of cows. And I remember one particular time we're driving down and we knew where we were coming just simply because of the smell. And I'll never forget the first time my daughter smelt this smell. And we're driving down and it's like, "Oh my gosh, Dad, did you do something?" I'm like, "No, it's your mother." I'm like, "What are you talking about? It stinks in here, man. What is that smell?" And all of a sudden it's like, "Oh, we're coming to a dairy farm." Anybody ever been to a dairy farm before? Yeah, we're coming to a dairy farm. And I knew, man, on this trip, it's like, man, we knew miles out before we're at the, we're like, "Oh, we're coming up on a dairy farm." Sure enough, you get there and there's hundreds of cows there to provide dairy. And I'll never forget that first time because when my daughter smelled that smell, it's like, you know what? When I think about cheese, come on, somebody. When I think about the creamer I'm putting in my coffee, are you with me? When I think about the butter I'm spreading on my bread, when I think about that ice cream cone, that is not the smell that comes to mind. Are you with me? You learn something very quick, don't we? Is that what we are heading towards, what we imagine, what we see, sometimes when you get there doesn't quite look like what you thought it was going to look like, does it? That smell, certainly, there's no way ice cream comes from that. There's no way my extra sharp cheddar cheese comes from that. There's no way my all natural, come on somebody, vanilla creamer comes from that, because I don't want no chemicals going into the body of Christ. Right? And it smells horrible. Right? Here are the Israelites, and they have traveled on this journey to get to the promised land. And now they learn some character lessons along the way as they first get there. There's been some challenges, there's been some things, and they've had some character lessons, but I can only imagine the conversations that they had thinking about the promised land flowing with milk and honey, right? Like the promised land, like it's gonna be awesome. And I think about my own recent road trip, you know, and we're thinking about, man, what is Mount Rushmore really gonna look like? You know, and I was joking around with my kids. I was like, it's all Photoshopped. Have you actually ever seen it with your eyes? They're like, no. And I was like, it doesn't really exist. Watch, we're going to get there. And it's going to be a big joke. It wasn't. It was there. But we're talking about what it's going to look like when you actually get there, right? I can only imagine the children of Israel as they're journeying to the promised land. Oh, man, so glad we left Egypt. And man, see you later. We're going to go and milk and honey. And then they quickly discover that things don't necessarily look like what you, are you with me? And in these moments that we got to remember something, because here's the thing. God has a promise for you. And the Bible says that all the promises of God are yes in him and amen, meaning they're going to come to pass. But what we learn very quickly in scripture, and what we learn very quickly in our story today, is that every promise has a problem to be solved before you get to the promise. That every promise that God has, there's going to be some obstacles, there's going to be some challenges, there's going to be some hiccups, there's going to be some things that maybe some character lessons, some things that you're going to have to navigate around. We see it in today's passage. But you've got to learn something in this spiritual journey, that if you fixate on the problem, you will never make it to the promise. If you fixate on the problem, not only will you fixate on one problem, what happens very quickly is all of a sudden you begin to see multiple problems. And it begins to build. Well, there's giants there, and there's these people, and there's that. And then all of a sudden what happens is, not only do you see that, you begin to see yourself differently. There's these big people, and we're just, you know what? We looked like grasshoppers as we were walking around them. We probably look that way to them too. As a matter of fact, our kids, our little children, are going to be snacks for them. That's what's going to happen, because they're big. What we need to learn is we can focus on one of three things in this spiritual journey as we begin to pursue the things that God has us. We can fixate on the problem. We can see the problem. We can see the potential, or we can see the promise. We can see the problem, we can see the potential, or we can see the promise. Let's just look at a couple of these real quickly in this passage today, because we see all of them here in this place. Because a lot of times, here's the reality, is it's not that we don't see anything, it's that we oftentimes see the wrong thing, right? It's not that we don't see anything at all, it's that we just see the wrong thing. And here, right off the bat, we see that they saw the problem. And you can choose, what do you see? You can choose to look at the problems. But what happens when you look at the problems is the problems begin to build, they begin to add to one of them, you know, one to another. And here's the thing. They should have known right away that there was gonna be some challenges. And so I'm helping you out, right? For those of you that are new to church, like, man, I accepted Jesus last week and life is great. Hold on, it gets worse. Just kidding. There's going to be challenges. There's going to be some struggles, right? We're real here at Canvas Church. It's going to be some stuff that you got to go through. And they should have known that right away. Moses should have known that in Exodus 3, verse 17, when the bush was on fire, speaking to him, say, I'm going to take you, right? When he gets this word, he says, I'm going to take you to the land flowing of milk and honey. Where does milk come from? Cows. Someone's like, goats. Yeah, I suppose. Weird. Cows, right? Cows. Cows also produce something else. It's called poop. If you want milk, you got to have cows. If you're going to have cows, you got to learn to deal with the stuff that they leave. And so, man, the idea of, oh, man, we're going to land flowing with milk. They shouldn't know right off the bat that they're going to have to deal with some stuff in order to get to the promise. You with me? Honey, love it. I mean, what? There's no better land. The only thing that could have been better about it, I'm going to take you to the land flowing with milk, honey, and coffee. Because you put the three of those together and it's like, wow, that really is the promised land, isn't it? Right? Right? I mean, because I'm sure no one was lactose intolerant then, right? Just whole milk, some honey, some coffee. They should have known when he said there's going to be honey that wherever there's honey, there's bees. Someone's like, what? No, it's in the jar. What are you talking about? Wherever there's honey, there's going to be bees. And wherever there's bees, there's going to be stings. Hopefully you're not allergic, right? If I want to get to the honey, I've got to get through some stuff. I got to get through some stings. If I want to get to the milk, I got to get through. There's going, listen to me, write it down, highlight it right now in your notes. If I want to get to the promise, I'm going to have to navigate through some problems. Write it down. It's going to happen. But you can't fixate on the problem. Because if you fixate on the problem, you will never make it to the promise. I mean, here's the deal. Yes, I'm going after the milk, but if you find yourself, because here's what happens. I know humanity because I was a psychology major. I've been pastoring for a long time now. I work with people. And here's the tendency. The tendency of us is to fixate on the problem. But last time I stepped in cow stuff, I didn't stay in it. Are you with me? I mean, the last time I stepped, I was like, whoa! Where'd that come from? And why? Right? You didn't just step in and go, oh man, that's a big pile of stuff. Man, this is horrible. My shoes, it smells. I thought it was dry, but no, it's soft underneath. This is horrible. Do you guys see what I'm standing in right now? I'm standing in poop, coming for the milk. Got the poop instead. This is horrible. I don't even know what to do. Is anybody else seeing this? It's ridiculous. I hate poop. Gosh. But you know what? That's the way some of us live our spiritual journey. We hit a problem. Oh, man. Don't know what I'm going to do. They didn't sing the song I like. And what was up with Jeff's mic this morning? Horrible. Right? That's what we do. We sit there and we fix it, and then we invite other people into it. Hey, have you seen this? Do you see what's going on in my life right now? It's horrible. Here's something I've learned. Because the Bible says this, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those that love it will eat of its fruit. In other words, listen, yeah, you might be standing in some stuff. It might not look good right now. But doesn't the Bible say in Psalm 23, all the way, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. The key is I'm walking through it. I'm not staying in it. I'm not standing in it. I'm not camping out in it. I'm not pitching a tent in it. I'm not saying, guys, check out my valley. It's dark. It's horrible. Life's brutal. No, if you find yourself in some stuff, you just got to keep walking out of it. If you find yourself in like you're there for the honey, but you find yourself amongst some bees, man, don't walk, run. Dive in a pool, do something, right? Don't just stay there. But the problem is we tend to just stay there and camp out and look, there's big people and this is horrible and we're never, they're going to eat my children. Whoa, how did we get there? Yeah, the reason we get there is because too oftentimes we focus here's what I learned, and this is why I asked the question, what do you see? Because the thing is, a lot of us are seeing like these people. We're seeing this problem. And because we see the problem, we speak the problem. Here's something I learned long ago, that power of the tongue, if you continue to speak what you're seeing, you will continue to see what you're speaking. And if you just continue, man, and I work with people, and they'll come in, I'll be, hey, what's going on? Our marriage is horrible. Really, tell me about it. Well, da, 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 and they mention all these horrible things. I'm like, well, I ask them this question, how often do you talk about that? All the time, yeah. Okay, so you guys have talked about it. Oh, yeah, we've talked about how bad it is. And it's just like, okay, let me ask you a question, and I'll bring them back, and this is fun to do. But let me ask you a question. How long have I been married? 7 years? Okay. Let me ask you a question. Why did you get married? Oh, all of a sudden a little twinkle in their eye. What attracted you to him, and what attracted you to her? And I get them talking about that, and guess what? The whole entire atmosphere begins to change as they begin to remember why they said I do at the altar. But yet for so long, they've been fixated on problems and been speaking problems. And if you continue to see it, then speak it, you'll continue to see what you're speaking. I get them off of that and I get them focused on this, and all of a sudden there's this moment and I see them start to smile, and then they're jabbing each other, they're laughing a little bit, and I'm just like, oh, that'll be $99, please. We should start charging. No. My wife's shaking her head no. That's the problem. No, just kidding. You can fixate on the problem. I wouldn't. But here they are, and they're fixated on the problem. If you're in the problem, keep moving. But then you see this too, though. Before they were fixated on the problem, they did bring back the fruit, didn't they? I mean, even the ones that were grumbling and complaining, the negative ones, they actually came back and said, it's flowing with milk and honey. And look at the fruit we brought back. It's awesome, right? Here's the thing, is they weren't focused on the problem. That's good. They were focused on the potential. And you know what? It seems sometimes that even in our spiritual journey, that even feels good. Like, isn't that what you got? But potential. They're not focused on the problem anymore. They're focused on, look at the fruit, man. There's great potential there. It really is a land flowing with milk and honey. But here's the problem when you focus on the potential. When you focus on the potential, you begin to negotiate. Cost, risk, assessment. I mean, there's some, maybe, potential. Here's the other problem with focusing on potential. What happens when the potential changes? What happens when all of a sudden the promised land hits a famine? What happens when the cows, they're not eating, and so the milk dries up? What happens? See, but sometimes in our spiritual journey, we begin to think that having the power of positive thinking is spiritual. Oh, this is gonna go deep. Well, I'm not focused on the problem. I'm focused on positive things. Won't you be my neighbor? And if I could just focus on positive things, like that's good, right? Oh, it's much better than thinking about the problem, sure. Temporary at best. Because at some point, listen to me, at some point, the potential is going to change. They were focused on the problem, focused on the potential. But we're to be people of faith, not just of positive thinking. Potential changes. Potential changes. Your potential changes. But there is one in the story. Told you I was going to jack up your notes in your app. You're like, where's the blanks? Stop focusing on the problem. It's a good message. There's one in the story, though, that I absolutely love. And his name is Caleb. And he doesn't even say anything about the promise or the potential. He doesn't even say anything about the problem. He's just literally hearing these people grumbling and complaining. And he just stands up and says, no, we got to go right now. For we are well able to take the land. Listen, he doesn't say we're well able to take out the enemy. We're well able to overcome the Hivites, the parasites, the mosquito bite. He doesn't say any of that. He just says, guys, we're well able to take the land. Why was he able to say that? Because he was fixated on the promise, not the problem, and not the potential. He was fixated on what God said, what he spoke, what he showed him, what he put in front of him. And because of that, he was able to say, hey, forget. Listen, it doesn't diminish that there's gonna be some problems. It doesn't diminish that, yeah, there's probably gonna be some potential, but what it does is it trumps it all and says, it doesn't matter what the potential is. It doesn't matter what the problem is. The only thing that matters is what God has spoken and what God is showing us. And if we keep our eyes on the promise, we can go in and we can overcome and we can conquer and we can take it and we can be prosperous and we can be healthy and we can have solid marriages and we can parent our children. And this is what God has promised us. Amen. We're well able. And so I want to ask you this morning, church, as we go into this incredible summer, what do you see? What do you see? One of the greatest benefits about being a part of the body of Christ is that even if you don't see it in your own life, if you're walking through some stuff right now, hoping to have the milk of a great marriage, but you're walking through some stuff right now, you need to get your eyes up and see that there are other great marriages in the church and say, you know what? My marriage don't quite look like that, but I'm gonna fixate on that marriage and say, hey, there's a model marriage. I wanna be like that marriage. I don't know how to parent my children right now. I'm walking through some stuff, but I get my eyes off the problem and I focus on, hey, you know, there's some great parents in here. And you know, I'm gonna get around them and I'm gonna see what it looks like to be a great parent so that I can parent my children. The story would go on because only two, Caleb and Joshua, came back with a good report. Because they were the only two. God says, you know what? This generation's not going to see the promise. Because all they fixate on is the problem and the potential. But there were two that one day walked into the promised land. There was a Caleb and a Joshua who had a good report that took the people into the promised land. And the reason they took them into the promised land is because they saw the right thing. Because you can only take people someplace that you've been before. And Joshua and Caleb fixated on the promise. And 40 years later, a new generation arises. Because Joshua and Caleb speaking the right thing. This is what we see. Now we saw it, we were there. Man, the land was flowing with milk and honey. Man, the fruit, it's ours. It's ours. The power of being in a community, the power of being in a small group, the power of being in church. What do you see? What do you see for your life? Because what you see is probably what you're speaking, and what you're speaking is probably what you're gonna continue to see. What do you see for your children? What do you see? One of my favorite things to do with my family is to dream. Love sitting around. Just, man. That's why we designed our own house. We're building a house. It looks really good on paper. I hope the budget's there. And I hope one day when you all come over and visit, I can have the plans at the front door and you come up to the, oh man, yeah. Man, to see what you just dreamt of. And there's something so powerful about it. So powerful, the Bible says in Proverbs that without a vision, the people perish. For some of you, right now, oh man. For some of you right now that you are having health issues in your body, but it's not a health issue, it's a vision issue. It's not a health issue. There's some of you, I just feel like you're here today and you've been battling some health stuff in your body. You've been fighting it, like maybe even some diagnosed, but it's not a health issue, it's a vision issue. You've been speaking this chronic thing over your life. But you know what? Right now, I believe God is healing you, God is touching you, because it's not a health issue, it's a vision issue. It's a vision issue. You've been seeing this, you've been on Googling, what do I have? Bad move. You either have a sore throat or you're dying of cancer. Stop it. Stop it. I'm telling you right now, the reason the doctor hasn't been able to cure you, the reason medicine isn't working, is because it's not a health issue. God's coming right now to touch you. God's coming to heal you. God's coming to minister to you right now. Hallelujah. If that's you, just grab onto it right now. Come on, grab onto it right now. Healing is yours in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus. There's a young woman here. And the only way I can describe it is the way the Bible describes Paul. And he talks about the battle between the flesh and the spirit. And he talks about, I keep doing the things I don't want to do. I just keep going that way. I don't want to do that. I keep doing it. The first thing I ought to do, I'm not doing. There's a young woman here, it's been a battle back and forth. And I feel like the Holy Spirit would say to you, it's a vision issue. It's a vision issue. You need to get your eyes back on godly living and get your eyes off of worldly living. You love Jesus. You genuinely love him, but you keep surrounding yourself with people that keep pulling you that way. It's a vision. Your vision is there. And God would say to you, if you would get your eyes off that, get your eyes fixated over here on what it is to live a godly life, you're going to see those other things begin to subside, and he's going to do a work in you. He's going to do a work in you. Matter of fact, for the last 7 years, he's been trying to get a hold of you in a radical way, but you continue to run from the call of God that's on your life. You continue to run from the promises of God. And if you would just settle it here and now in this moment and say, God, I'm yours. I'm tired of fighting. I'm tired of resisting. I'm tired of running. He's going to launch you into the great and perfect plan he has for your life. Go ahead and stand to your feet, church. God, we thank you so much. God, we thank you for today. God, we thank you that this is a day that you have made. Lord, we will rejoice and be glad in it. God, we thank you, Lord God, that we don't have to be people that fixate on the problem. We don't have to be people that fixate, Lord, on the potential. We are going to be people this summer, God, to learn to fixate on the promises that you have for our life. We're going to fixate on the promises that you have for us. So God, right now, I lift up Canvas Church to you, and I pray, God, you would launch us into the greatest summer that we've ever been in. God, you would launch us into the greatest moment we've ever been in as a church. God, we begin to see the supernatural works of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. With every eye closed and every head bowed, you're here today, and you would just say, you know what, Ben, I've been focusing on the problem, and I need to get my eyes off the problem. I need to focus on the promise. With every eye closed, you know who you are. I don't need to say more than that. Would you shoot your hand in the air right now? I want to pray for you. Get your eyes off the problem. Get your eyes off the Lord right now. Lord, I thank you for honest people. I thank you for real people. I pray that our eyes would begin to shift from the problem and begin to get on the promises. For all the promises of God are yes and amen. And that which you spoke, you're surely going to do. And God, we thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Thank you so much for coming to Canvas today. If you
thank you for joining us today. For more information, please visit our website at www.canvaschurchsd.com.